Hello everyone, this is Ned O'Meara from Domain, welcoming you to our second podcast interview. To kick it off, today we've got the CEO of Domain Shield, Anthony Peak. Good morning, Anthony, and welcome.
Good morning, Ned. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Pleasure. Now, Anthony, before we sort of get started, I just chatting to you before we did the actual podcast interview, we were talking about a special offer for Domainer clients. So I just thought, just to tell everyone that there is going to be a very special Domain Shield offer at the end of this podcast for 20 lucky people. So let's talk about that a little bit later. Firstly, you've got a great South African accent there. Can you tell us a bit about your background and how you ended up in Australia?
Sure, yeah. I was born in South Africa and raised in Johannesburg, and then got sort of involved in technology probably when I was about 8 years old and started programming. And when I finished school, then there was an exciting opportunity to travel to London and work with some technology back there in 2001. So I sort of went from South Africa to London for about 5 years, and then after that worked a lot with Australians, particularly from Melbourne and from Brisbane. And when I left the UK, it was just a natural progression to work with Australians that I worked with in the past, and that was how I ended up in Melbourne.
And so we actually let you into Australia, did we? You didn't have to
pretend. Not initially.
Oh, you had some difficulty?
I did actually, yeah, because I come from I don't come from a university background with relation to technology, so very much self-taught. So it's not trivial to get a visa without a degree.
I see.
Well, sponsored visas, etc.
Excellent. Oh well, I'm glad you're here anyway. So basically, you're obviously a technical guru when it comes to drop catching, and I know you've had great success at various places like Domain 8 and Drop and NetPlease and stuff, because I think I've known you or known of you for like six years at least. But for our listeners, can you share your career path basically prior to starting Domain Shield?
Sure, yeah. I sort of arrived in Australia about 8 years ago and sort of fell into drop catching by mistake. I think the sort of place where I come from on the technical side is, if we compared it to driving a racing car, I don't build engines, which is really what programmers do, and I don't design racetracks, which is what people who create policies do, but I kind of look at the output of what the engine's doing and what the racetrack looks like, and I try to predict what would be a good way to configure that for the future. So when I arrived in Australia and was working on a separate project, when I was working, DomainWatch had just started out, and I was having a look at their log files and made some recommendations to the programmer who was effectively tuning the engine, and that made the engine work better, and they called the domain names, and that was how I got involved in drop catching.
That makes sense, yes. That name you just mentioned, DomainWatch, that brings back some memories for me, but we won't talk about them. I think that's a story for the bar.
Exactly, but after that I moved on to Domain 8 and Drop, which was a company that I worked with George Bongus, and we sold to Dark Blue Sea, which comes to why I moved up to Brisbane, was to work with drop.com.au and Dark Blue Sea for a few years. And then once I became a citizen and they let me into Australia officially, then my end goal was always to move down to Sydney to be nearby to family, which is where I ended up moving down to Sydney and joining NetFleet, where I worked for a year and a half, 2 years.
Excellent. Well, I mean, George Bongus is a very well-known name in the domain industry, you couldn't have asked for a better mentor, I guess, to work with to start with, and the guys at Drop are excellent as well. And then NetFleet, that was an interesting progression. I followed your career path there. It seemed to me that when you went to NetFleet, within a very short space of time, you started winning lots of drop catching. So their poaching of you or their acquisition of your services obviously paid off very well for them.
Look, it does look like that, but to be honest with you, the people that designed the engine are definitely, they were the ones who did really well at NetFleet, and that they definitely have a really good engine in their race car, if that makes sense. The place or the value that I added to, I actually approached NetFleet. They didn't really poach me at all, but I sort of look at the outside. I'm the one looking at the entire racing season and trying to work on a product that works well over a very long period of time.
Yeah.
NetFleet were actually very good already at catching a name and having a good session in one race. But as far as getting your tyres right for the conditions that you're going to race in and planning for the future, that's sort of the value that I added to NetFleet. So I like to think NetFleet's continued success may have had something to do with me working there, but their initial success was actually their own.
Well, he's very modest. That's excellent. So let's get on to Domain Shield. How did that come about?
Domain Shield, I mean, the name fit with drop catching immediately. It wasn't originally designed to be a drop catching business. It was designed basically to fulfill a niche within the registration market in Australia that we saw. At the time, I was working with some lawyers that were very respected. I had a good opportunity to work with them. And we wanted to work on the side of looking after people's domain names, providing extra services to corporates that would help them look after their domain names. And that was how the name Domain Shield came about, and it was a joint venture that we worked on. And then we kind of got into drop catching by accident, which I can't really get into the details of exactly why. And, you know, drop catching has been very successful for us over the last year. So we migrated across to basically being a dedicated drop catcher, and I took over running and owning the whole business. So that was how it came
and
about.
And that's just come about just fairly recently, hasn't it, that you're sole owner there now?
Yes, it was recently completed fully, because it takes a bit of a time to complete that migration and changeover.
Yeah, I understand. Now, your platform's very, very different to both Drop and NetFleet. I mean, Drop obviously has a nice, transparent, open system where people can put proxy bids and fixed bids in, and everyone can see what everyone's doing. NetFleet has a hidden bid or a silent bid system where you can't see anything. And yours is a different sort of system altogether. Can you briefly explain the difference for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. I guess the difference is our systems, we don't publish sales data after anything's happened. So, you know, nobody really knows what a domain was sold for except for the person who buys it. My rationale behind this is mainly motivated by I don't like the idea of publishing wholesale prices. I see a lot of the prices that are achieved at Drop and at NetFleet and Domain Shield itself as real wholesale prices. And when that starts to affect retail prices in the market and people start believing that domain names are worth their wholesale amount that they were originally paid for, I believe that's negative for the industry as a whole. I like the idea of aftermarket sales being published, the price being published for real aftermarket sales as opposed to the very, very short 24-hour drop turnaround. So that's the one difference. And the other difference is that when you're making an offer, the price doubles each level that goes up. So
as someone who uses your platform and has used your platform since probably the very beginning, it took a bit of getting used to, but I actually quite liked it. And I must say, getting back to your statement about not publishing prices, that is one thing I really love about your platform, because there's nothing more frustrating when you do see prices published, and it just does not help our business when we're domainers, etc. So I really, really like that. In terms of the way you work, just so I can explain it in my language to other people, is that that you have levels where people who are your clients have been approved on your platform can get in. A bid starts at $25, and that's basically inclusive of GST and customer registration fees. So that would have to be one of the cheapest acquisitions out there in drop catching. So if you can get on there and just win one domain and no one else bids on it, and you get it for $25, that is your cost. So less GST, it's probably $22, something or other. Whereas the cheapest that you can get on NetFleet, for instance, would be $10 plus $49.95, so almost $60. So there's quite a big difference there. So I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
And about a $25 purchase as well. The $25 purchase also means that if anybody else was to try to purchase that same domain name, later on our system, they'd have to pay $50 or more. So not only the value of actually getting a domain name for $25, you're also protected up to $50. So you actually, there's also some insurance almost added in as well for free.
Yeah, no, and look, as a domainer and having used your platform, I can elaborate on that because, you know, as many times as you know, the doubling up effect, you get to $100 and you put that bid in. If you get it in first and no one else is bid, you're locked in up to $200. So someone, your competitor, has to bid $200 to beat you, and so it goes up the track. So I know I've actually gone up bidding $6,400 on your platform once to get some domains, and that way I was almost guaranteed to get my domain because the next bidder would have to bid $12,800. So I love that. So
you
there's
get a large protection, if that makes sense.
Exactly, but obviously it doesn't get economical when it gets past that. I mean, I'd love to see something slightly different once it gets to the higher levels, but that's a chat for another time. But no, it's I really love the way that your platform works. And I think the other thing is that's important to note is that you've really had some great successes in terms of drop catching. I mean, can you share a few of those names? I mean, I know just before you do that, I know from my perspective, you've caught some great names like coaching.com.au for me. You've caught Resume, Funny. You've caught some wonderful ones for me, and I'm very grateful. And what are some other ones that you've caught?
I guess the first domain name we caught was actually weddingcarhiresydney.com.au in November 2014. That was actually caught for you. That was probably the first competitive domain name that we caught.
Okay, good.
It's very long though, but it passes the test for being generic at least.
Yes.
I think probably WOW would be one of the better domain names that we've caught. We've caught some nice Australian domain names like Six Pack and Ale. Caught names like westcoast.com.au, Scandal. We've caught weird domain names like weird.com.au.
Yeah.
There really is a large selection of domain names that we catch. We do catch quite a few names that are for end users that actually match their business names,
yes.
Not for domainers, but I won't go into those ones because they directly match the people's businesses.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the ones that I saw recently that you called was Car Rentals. That was a really nice one to pick up.
Yeah, that's a great one. I think we caught Property Guide as well at one point.
Really
nice names.
Yeah, no, well, you've really done well. I noticed just recently you've dropped off the pace a little bit compared to NetFleet. NetFleet have obviously tweaked their systems a little bit, or maybe you've untweaked your systems. I don't know. Can you explain that?
Yeah. I guess if we go back to that racing car analogy that I was talking about earlier where, you know, there's the engine, there's the car, and there's the track, there's ups and downs in drop catching. Mainly because the track actually changes. I guess it's not quite like Formula One where there's very subtle changes to the track. Sometimes the track and the things that we're racing on are almost the difference between Formula One and rally car racing. So when the conditions are much more suited to rally car racing, then a Formula One car doesn't do very well and vice versa. So it's, you know, the long-term ability to race on different types of conditions with different types of cars means that very small judgments like how did you do in one particular month, it's almost like judging a Formula One car.
Yeah, okay. So
one race in Singapore. Race through the European season.
Understand. So to sort of get it off the car analogy, I mean, it's just in simple terms, you've just got to keep tweaking and finding out what works for you, and then sometimes you get something that works really well, and then that'll last for a while, and then you just got to keep adjusting all the time.
Yeah.
I guess that's basically how it is, yeah. So
it definitely does keep moving all the time, and it keeps one busy analysing the log files.
Excellent. So what's Domain Shield got planned for the future?
At the moment, we're relatively focused on our ISS compliance, which is, I think, has been an interesting challenge that the all registrars in Australia have faced over the last 2 years. Is learning about ISS, which is the information security standard, which
yes.
all AU accredited registrars need to adhere to. It's very much designed for large corporates and not for small businesses. So it's been a massive challenge for me for Domain Shield just as being a very small business. So that's been really what we've been focused on. So I'd be excited if we do get ISS compliance and we have it all completed before the deadline, which is the end of October. At that point, really, then I can look for what I can do with Domain Shield next. But
exactly,
it's such a large hurdle that it's probably taken all my focus, basically.
So, Anthony, now the big question is, now if our readers join up to Domain Shield after this, you're not only going to be around for 1 month, are you? Please tell me you're going to get your ISS compliance.
Yeah, I'm confident that we will get our ISS compliance before the 31st of October. But, yeah, it is definitely something that people should ask their registrars at this point. Because,
yeah, exactly. I think it's fair to say there's been a bit of talk. There's going to be a number of registrars dropping off the planet, so to speak. So it'll be interesting to see how many we end up with at the end of October, come early November, et cetera. You're going to concentrate on drop catching, et cetera. I think that's terrific. Where do you stand with the talk of, you know, sort of direct registrations? I know you're on the names panel as well, and that you can't basically talk too much about that. But what's your general thoughts overall? Do you think there should be some sort of rights protection for existing registrants?
I do, and the thing about the names panel and everybody sort of saying yes and wanting to go to public consultation, it was definitely a yes. But we do think that the period of moving across to having AU needs to be discussed. It was always a yes, if that makes sense. Yeah. The names panel also wasn't allowed to talk about the but and how as part of it. I'm really excited when we do get to talk about the how. I guess that's the question you're asking, right? I quite like the New Zealand model, if that makes sense, where from my understanding of it, the current registrants would be able to sort it out between themselves who would get the AU, and if they couldn't come to some sort of a consensus, then it couldn't be allocated for a period of time. But I definitely think that, I mean, I personally assume that there will be a recognition of rights and would push for a recognition of existing rights.
Yes, no, and I think the New Zealand one said basically if you had a domain name registered at a certain date and time, so in other words, any new registrations just couldn't jump on the bandwagon, so to speak. So I think that's an interesting setup. So I will be interested to see how that happens, particularly given that COMAU holds approximately 86% of the total AU registrations at the moment. I think there'd be some mightily upset COMAU holders if they weren't given some sort of rights protection. But anyway, yeah, we're not discussing that. That's for another time as well. So thank you for chatting and talking about Domain Shield. I guess probably the thing that I wanted to do with you, and this is something that you and I talked about earlier, was how do we help boost your business, and how do we make our listeners, our readers, aware of your business? I think it's fair to say that a lot of people have been put off perhaps coming over to Domain Shield because there's always been some hurdles to join you. You've been fairly exclusive. You've got either a $500 join-up fee or bring domains over, a huge number of domains. But I think I've been able to twist your arm, and you've got a special offer for domain readers. Would you like to share that with us, please?
I do. I guess there's two things I'd like to just share first, which is originally the idea of getting people to bring across a large number of domain names was we had a very easy-to-use system where you could manage a large number of domain names, and you can see your name servers on the main screen, and you can see your eligibility details together with the domain names very easily in our system. So it was designed to encourage people to actually use that system. When we moved away from the brand, we went exclusively into drop catching, that side of the business is less important. So the first change that I've made is that even if you do pay the $500 now, it actually gets credited to your account. So you actually get to use that $500 as you do your initial drop catching. But on top of that, as part of the podcast, I'm going to do a special offer just to say $100 to sign up, and we'll give 20 of your listeners a promo code that they can use to get that discount.
Beautiful. So, in essence, that's going to be the first 20 people that are willing to sign up on your platform. They've got to sign up. They've got to give their you know, their name, their ABN, et cetera. They've got to put a credit card deposit on of $100. That's not a fee or a joining fee. That is simply money that goes on there that's applied to their account, which will get applied against their first purchase, et cetera. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And so, the sign-up also comes with a 30-day money back. So if anyone's unhappy or they're not catching what they're after, or if they're after just one very large domain name, we don't catch it, I'm quite happy to give them a refund as well.
Oh, well, that's even better, and we hadn't talked about that, so no, thank you for that. I think that will be really, really popular, and I'm going to post the promo code in this article. Once I post this this podcast, I'll post the promo code, so it'll be the first 20 people that sign up to your platform. And I have to say that as someone who's used your platform, it's very, very easy to put in a bid. It's very easy to look at. You soon know that if you put in a bid, if someone has outbid you, because you get a little message that says this level has already been booked. So you know then you've got to go to the next level, and it'll tell you once nobody else has bid on it, it will tell you that your bid has been successfully recorded. So I really, really like that about your platform. So I think other people will. So for our listeners, if you're wanting to have an account with Domain Shield, very, very simply, this is your chance. It's $100 where you sign up, and that $100 is not a fee. It's just a credit on your account. So please take advantage of it. I think it's well worth it. Anthony,
yeah,
it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much for sharing all that. And I think people, our listeners, have got to know you a little bit better.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Yeah. I appreciate having the time to talk to you. I've also made one other change to Domain Shield, which is I've actually put my mobile number on the homepage. I'm quite happy to talk to people, quite happy to talk to about drop catching. I'm pretty open. Sometimes it's hard to get hold of me, especially on the weekends. But, yeah, generally very open to talk to people.
Yeah, look, and that is one thing I can also say to our readers and listeners, that if you've had problems in the past with other people getting hold of tickets, handling tickets, Anthony is fantastic like that. He answers his emails, and he's also giving you his phone number, etc. So that's a good thing. Anthony, I wish you all the best, and thank you very much again for the interview. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for some too, Ned.
Cheers.
Bye.